Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion.
Umthandazo welungisa unamandla ngokugqibeleleyo. Radio Pulpit yakha umzantsi Afrika nezizwe zonke ngomthandazo.
657 medium wave Radio Pulpit coming to you. We trust the Father is doing you well, blessing you so much in a mighty way. The best of friends we are. This is happening throughout up to the hour 8, Thursday Live, the name of the show. My name is Ray. Welcome to it. And of course, it will be good. Like I said yesterday, last night, that even tonight, when we get your messages, let us get them quite earlier than, you know, towards the end of the show, because it would allow us to be able to hear so much of the ministry that the Father has put in your life, and multitudes of people will benefit with regards to that. We don't need to cut anything. And thank you so much to Johan Els. He's back with you tomorrow. Thank you very much, Johan. And thank you for standing in the gap, you know, standing in the gap when everybody else is afraid to stand in the front. You have been a pioneer of true peace and reconciliation. Thank you so much, sir.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith, and love on 657 AM.
Radio Pulpit's Facebook page makes you more a part of the station than ever before. Now you can give your opinion regarding our programs or even contact your favorite presenter. You can get the latest news and existing programs and communicate with other listeners. Come on, let your fingers do the talking on Radio Pulpit's Facebook page. It's interactive and dynamic. Just visit facebook.com/Radio Pulpit.
There is radio and radio. And then there is 657 AM. Can you hear the difference?
Oh, yes. A beautiful song there. The Lord is my light, El Debarge. Can you believe it? And as I say to many people, when I first knew El Debarge, knew him from the group Debarge. You know, it's a family of, just like the Jacksons, man, actually. You know, and of course, there is also Prince Debarge there. Oh, yeah, man. And this one is outstanding. He made this and it became a classic of so many years, man. Many, many years. More than 30 years ago, I think, the song is. I was a little boy, you know, when this was really rocking the radio stations. And it was rocking the radio stations together with soul music. Then there was something known as soul music, which later became R&B. We used to call it soft music. Hey, yeah. Anyway, Apostle Pumla is not in because she's out of the country. And of course, also Muruti Makamu says he will join us in an hour. We have Landu Tato on the line. And then Mashadi, the inserts. She has submitted the inserts on the topic. And then, of course, we are going to ask her as time goes on just to look at her schedule. The thing why we are making inserts with Mashad is because of her schedule. So we know that if she is not as busy as I know her to be, you know, we will be able to have her live via the telephone. Anyway, I think it is also befitting that she makes the generics which appeal to the morality of leadership in business virtues. And we are looking into this. Leaders of today, man, and morality when it comes to finances. Ah, the leaders of today. And the morality when it comes to finances. The virtues of business. Are we seeing that as much as we should? I was watching a documentary that is based on some of the programs I did so many years ago. And basically they were coming up with examples and say, look, from where we started to look into these aspects, we were able to unearth some of the things that are still happening. Man, churches are still rich, rich schemes and stuff like that. It's so sad. Anyway, let me welcome Landu Tato. She's on the line. Greetings to you and welcome, Tato.
Greetings, Pastor Ray, and the listeners of Radio Pulpit.
I hope you're well, Tato.
I'm very well, Pastor Ray. So okay. Grateful to be here today. I'm always blessed here, hey?
You're always what?
I'm always blessed coming here to listen. More than anything, I really think that I'm just coming here to take my notes and really just get blessed by the other speakers. I wish that we could have young entrepreneurs come in and listen, you know. It makes it so much easier to lead, to make decisions, and also to steer towards change when you've got the right information and trusted information for that matter.
You see, that's basically the issue. That's why we have someone of your age to be part of the show. It is because we want to make sure that the younger generation is able to touch on to this even more. And it is good that we expose the vices and we also bring across the goodness, you know, of actually being those kinds of people who are in business and what does it mean when you're a child of the Most High. But also to look at the common vices and virtues that are there and the immorality that we find when it comes to business in the church. It starts with leaders, you know, the very same extortions of money. I mean, Mashadi is on a program, on her program and slides, she is busy with tithing. Okay, I haven't listened that much today, but she is busy with tithing and what it is even all about. And I saw someone responding, but they did not respond straight into her. They responded in their own way because the crowd is watching. And she was saying, okay, if we cancel the tithe, then who's going to finance the church? And she was putting it that way, but in a very defensive way that also is immoral. Because tithing is not for financing the church. I can show you it's for foreigners and those who are hungry. It's the house of Levi. And show me one today. But hey, I don't want to get there. Now, I want us to look into that very aspect of the implications today of virtues that we can say these virtues are good, but against which virtues that we see today, phakathi babandleni, imali handlishwa njani, amabhizinisi la okuthiwa amabhizinisi wenkonzo handlishwa kanjani. Let me tell you a very personal and life story. We built the church. We built churches, man. Churches. I'm telling you a personal story. And at times we spend, you know, when you spend, you are married, Tato Akir, ne? So you will realize that there is this finance, which you can't use to go and have coffee with that friend of yours. You can't. You can't be going with that friend of yours. That would be very dumb, you know. And so we had gone on, my wife and I, to even take Chelete Akutlum to build this particular church. We basically even bought a caravan. Guess what we were doing, Kamu Caravani? Guess.
Tato, were you living in the caravan?
What?
Were you living in the caravan?
No. No, we had a house. Everybody be thinking we are maspala. You know, my first house that I bought when I was from the streets, I bought it in Kuya Maspala. You know, so we lived there, but we did not improve it. We left it as it was because it was only the two of us. So we bought on furniture second hand, you know, just to so that the house can have some comfort. TV a second hand, radio. Yeah. Okay, the radio we have is the radio that she had, Kotekis, you know. So we had that radio out, Galadi CD, it's a 4, you know. And then the money that we were making, she started to go work for Pricewaterhouse. The money that we started making, We took that money and put it in the Church Raha building. And we bought a caravan. Rarexa, I don't know if you know the quarter or this part. More it's this part. It's a quarter of a bread in a ling Russian and the chips, the cheese and stuff. So that we can buy the roof, so that we can buy the dinner, so that we can buy all those things. Because the people in Bronkhorstspruit, where we were in Ekangala, did not have a place that we can say this is a place of prayer. People were in schools, you know, and all those things and stuff. So in schools, there's something called the SGB. They can just kick you out if you don't pop up the money the way they want. And so that money went on, and then the church grew. The church expanded powerfully over the years. And when we started having differences with some of the leaders, they came and took the church away. They said, look, when you build this church, you build it under our name, so we are taking it away. Even though the title deeds and everything, they speak something of you, we are taking it away. But I said, but I had built it for the community and not for you. It's also not for me. And they said, no, since you are a pastor and us, we are taking it away. Even now, it's still taken away. I had to build again, start from scratch. It's taken away. All right. That's not that, to me, that's not an issue. An issue comes to business moralities. How moral was it for an organization to gain a building and to have every person that is in that building backslide? Because none of the people whom, when I was kicked out, who was left in that building, none of them is there now. The place is being vandalized. What's the point? You know? So when I talk about business virtues, business moralities, I also speak about the business of the Most High. He gave us talents. He said, go and do business till I come. And also, we have businesses that he had given us. Paul was a tent maker. Another one, maybe you have a construction company. The other one is a farmer. The other one is in a, what do they call this? Real estate. The other one is into taxis. The other one is into what's my friend on? She's on. The other one is on the other business, retail. Yes, she's in retail. And of course, they basically, all of these, whether they be spiritual or even material, one has to exercise the virtues and the moralities of the word. Now, Jay, as we start with the ministry, when people take a church from someone, most of the time, I'm not saying always, most of the time, it's because they look at the people who are in that church. If you have a mayor, lawyers, business people, teachers, lecturers, professors in there, you have doctors in there and stuff, they take the church. You know why? Because they know that they can get so much money from those people as per tithes or whatever it is that they put for people to bring across. They know. And when those people decide to say, oh, okay, no, I'd rather go stay at home. I mean, 75 to 80% of those people are staying at home. What happens now? You know, what's the motive behind? That's a big problem. That's what we are facing these days. So we are talking about the business morality and then immoralities or virtues or non-virtues that we find amongst those who are leaders. Are we still extorting money from the people? Taking money from the people so that we can drive our lavish cars. Yeah?
Sure.
Yeah, you can drive our lavish cars, these big cars and stuff. Ya ha ukoloi ke khulu ibile o kare na le satellite dish yona ka boyona. Ke khulu. You know, ke muruti koloi ena. Wa bona, khale monna he re hola rena. Wa ruti ne ba tsama ya ka nthongwe ba ke Volkswagen Beetle 1400 SP. 1400 nya neng nya nna le ngwe ba re ke 1600 ya di exhaust tse pedi tse tsetsane ya engine ko morago. They used to drive that Muruti Mohera, the late Muruti Mohera used to drive a panel van Toyota Corolla. You know, during those times, I'm not talking about now, but during those times. No, I remember one guy, I was driving this, that's many years ago, man, I think maybe 20 years ago, I was driving an Audi A6, V6, that's a beautiful car, man. I was driving that car, and I remember arriving at this pastor's house, and he said, "You see now, Ray, this is a car at Swansea Murray driving a route." You know what I did? In that week, I sold that car. I bought a Mazda Midge because I felt so offended that I'm associated with extortions, corruptions, and the wealth of stature that has been associated to prosperity teachers.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith, and love on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit, download the Bible to your cell phone, read Word for Today, and you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za, especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
As easy as the touch of a button, the message of life on 657 AM.
All right, welcome to it. We trust the Father is doing you well, blessing you so much in a mighty way. Business virtues and business moralities today. You know, I want to speak about the business of diligence. You know, when one is diligent in business, reverential in business, you know, if you can look at Nehemiah, man. Chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Indeed, I also continued the work on this wall, and we did not buy any land, and my servants were gathering there for the work." Diligence, right? Okay. And then go back to Ezra, chapter 7, verse 23. "Whatever is commanded by the Elohim of heaven, let it diligently be done for the house of the Elohim of heaven, for why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons?" Whatever is commanded by the Most High, let it be done diligently. That's the morality. Diligence is part of the morality of the business that leaders in the church should be concerned with. And leaders in the church should be diligent in the biggest of ways and never allow themselves to be led astray by whatever it is that makes them to feel somewhat somehow as if, man, I can take this for myself. All the buildings of the ministry, you've taken them, they belong to you. Everything that was spoken of as belonging to the Father has become yours, because there is a lack of diligence. That which is commanded by the Father of heaven, let it be so. That which is commanded by the Father of heaven, let it be so. And it is my prayer that it be so. Okay. I lost Landu Tata. I'm trying to reconnect with her, and she's calling me. I can feel it on my hand. She's calling me. Now, The word is also speaking with regards to this, that, and I'm looking at Nehemiah also. Remember, chapter 5, verses 16. It says, indeed, I also continued. It says, indeed, I also continued the work on this wall, and we did not buy any land. All my servants were gathered there for work. Ezra speaks about diligence. The work must be done with diligence. Do you think leaders are full of the morality that they're supposed to have? Tato?
Absolutely not, Pastor Ray. And it's become so prevalent that it's actually the new reality and the new normal, in such a way that it does not shock the society anymore, even the way that leaders behave, the way leaders are going about decision-making. It's just become so prevalent that even citizens are not bothered when we see these things. And I mean, in politics right now, there could be these big decisions that are being made. And we all know as the citizens how bad those decisions are. But because it's just become so prevalent for leaders to not be upright, that it's become absolutely normal. It's like the wrongs and wrongdoing has just become literally the new normal. That, in a sense, leadership has lost meaning and has diminished its purpose in our society. Sure. I mean, we can see the entitlement of leaders that's going on. It's more of people just promoting their names. It's more of people just going about leadership for selfish purposes, knowing exactly what is there for them to benefit, you know. I was reading now, when I was reading where the Bible actually speaks about leadership, and some of the virtues that it's been mentioned over and over again, it's actually honesty and compassion. And it speaks of leaders as people that are to serve others and to put others first. But I do not, I've actually, in our age, I've not seen a leader that that has challenged me that much to say that, you know what, this person really has a sense of leadership and understands what leadership, understands that it's serving people, it's giving your life and giving so much more, that it's hardly about taking anything. It's hardly about taking anything.
I hear you quite well. You know, in most cases also, the very aspect of the virtues of a business, and I'm going to look into this when I go to Mashadi. I'm going to look into this. If you look at Nehemiah 4, verses 23, it says, so neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. Diligence, commitment. Virtues also have to do with commitment to the welfare of the ministry. You don't take money to make yourself fat. Okay. I had a meeting with my friend Cooper. Cooper and I were friends since that place. There's a place that used to be known as Tefloop. I don't know what they call it. Somewhere called Mangueng. It used to be a university. Now, we met here at UNISA, and then we went to Tefloop, and we continued to be friends, came back to UNISA. We continued to be friends, even today. Now, he's into high securities, and he's a shrewd businessman, you know. And he just told me how he has resigned from being head of security at one of the biggest tertiary institutions in South Africa, simply because of business virtues, and saying, look, the virtues that they follow were so bad. You know, some of the securities had been spending something like 3 years with one shirt that they wear. So when they take off that shirt, they must wash it, wear it again for 3 years. He was arguing those cases and saying there's so many cases that are against that as at the CCMA. And I've been told that should I continue to continuously blow the horn, I will be taken away, taken off. So I resigned 3 days ago. He says that. So I was talking to him just before coming here. And that boils down to virtues, the welfare of the people who work for you, the brethren who are pastors and leaders in churches. I wonder if they care about those people that they take money from. I had seen also them taking money from pensioners. They call it SASSA money. I don't know, Tato, if you know what is a SASSA, but there's something called SASSA money, you know. They even take from that money. That is how bad it is. If you can go also on YouTube and stuff, don't go around, but just look at what is happening in Pretoria. Pastors and money. Extortions. A person says, I want to buy a machine yahoo about gold. And these ladies, they believe him. Kabani, keep Bishop. They believe him. And they go and they give 450,000 rand to this guy.
From ticket,
yes, or 700,000 to this guy. This guy now doesn't return calls. What's happening? She has made a loan, you know. And it's not one person. So many people. There is this church where these other guys who look like, what do they call these guys who are bodyguards? They have this name, bouncers, are blocking the church people from going to church, and they say, look, this pastor must pay the 450,000 rands or the 700,000 rands to this person and stuff. So you can just see how the aspect of the lack of business virtues continues to go even around. That's what we are looking into. That's what we are touching on. And of course, as I promised, that we will also be listening to Mashadi on this issue. Mashadi, greetings to you. These things are happening. Business virtues, man. What a challenge this is, it seems. Greetings and welcome.
Good evening, Muruti Ray. Good evening to you and the wonderful, wonderful Radio Pulpit listeners. This is the day that Yahuwah, Abba, Yahuwah, the Elohim has made.
Aha.
And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Once again, what a topic. Business virtues in the church and business by leadership. Without further ado then, let us look at the dictionary as to what virtue means. When I look at the Oxford version, it says, virtue refers to behavior showing high moral standards, which speaks to righteousness, which speaks to goodness, which speaks to morality. And then it says, it actually refers to a quality considered morally good or desirable in a person. So that is good. Now the last one, it says, a good or useful quality of a thing. A thing could be an organization, could be in a zone, it could be a space, it could be any kind of scenario. Let us then cut to the chase and read from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'll read from verse 5 to 9. In fact, for purposes of context, let's read from verse 2, and then we'll stay on verse 5 to verse 9 as we talk about business virtues in the church and business by leadership. If you have a pen in front of you, I would like you to draw three columns. The first column will talk about business virtues. The second column will focus on business virtues in the church. The third column will focus on business virtues by leadership. And this leadership could be in any environment, whether it's in the church space, the political space, the technological space, whatever space you could be thinking of, whatever zone you could be thinking of. Now, back to the text. 2 Peter, verse 1, 5 to 9. And verse 5 reads, in fact, let's start it, with verse 2 for purposes of context. And for content, we'll focus on verse 5 to to 9, and for process, we'll discuss exactly what it is that we've put into different columns, and for purposes of impact, we can, in terms of outcome and impact, we can then discuss that. We can go freestyle and talk about these virtues in spaces within which we find ourselves. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then let's allow scripture to interpret scripture. Then Paul says in the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 29, he says, therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. We ought to be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How will we do that? By virtue. Listen to this, verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Meaning you can have faith, but without virtue, there's a problem. And he says to virtue, add knowledge. Because as much as you may have virtue and you do not have knowledge, there's a problem. To knowledge, add self-control. Because as much as you may have knowledge and you do not have self-control, there's a problem. To self-control, add perseverance. And because without perseverance, as much as you may have self-control and you do not have perseverance, there's a problem. And to perseverance, add godliness. Because you may persevere. We may see your works. We may see your hard work without godliness. And perhaps your works could be hidden behind a form of godliness. And I've been talking about priestly garments and the way we look on the outside. And Christ himself says, do not judge based on the outside. Judge righteously. And to godliness, not a form of godliness, to godliness, add brotherly kindness, because you may have godliness or a form of godliness, but without brotherly kindness, kindness, the fruit of the Spirit, then we know that, you have the look, but you don't have the real fruit. Hey. And to brotherly kindness, therefore, add love.
Yeah.
What is love? God is love. What is the fulfillment of the law? Love is the fulfillment of the law. He did not come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law, and he fulfilled the law on the cross, because Yah gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? Because he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And this was fulfilled by what the psalm said. Fulfilled, the psalms or psalmists said. And this includes what the Moses said. It includes what the prophet said about him. So he fulfilled the law. He did not come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. Off the cuff, when you talk about business virtues, you immediately have to think about fairness. We write these on our walls, you know, the value statements on our walls. Yes. Fairness, respect, loyalty, honesty, and ethics and accountability and responsibility. What's missing is passion. The one who started this business, whatever business you're in, started off because it was he or she was driven by passion. He or she was driven by love. God so loved the world, and therefore he's given us and called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Every business is concerned about the environment within which it works, or it functions, or rather it operates. That's the right one. Now, that's what we call environmental or environment consciousness. And when you talk about environment consciousness, it means you need to make sure that the environment is not polluted. It means that you need to be aware of the environment within which you operate. You've got to know, for example, as to what the water quality is like within that environment. What is the air quality in that environment? What is the soil quality? Is there enough nitrogen in the soil, potassium or phosphorus? You know, you need fertilizers for the soil to remain healthy so that whoever wants to sow a seed would sow that seed and harvest at the right time. Now, is the environment within which we operate healthy? Is the church not polluted? Is the church conscious does the church have a conscience at this point in time? Are we aware that we have been infiltrated? Are we aware that we have adopted other things that don't belong in the church? Virtues, business virtues. I'm not in the church virtues yet. Business virtues. We're talking accountability, taking responsibility and ownership. We talk about business ethics. What is right and what is wrong? What is the right conduct and what is the wrong conduct of the business? Are the things that we need to engage in? Are there things that we should distance ourselves from? In businesses, they would talk about corporate social responsibility. And that's the responsibility towards not only employees, but clients and customers and society in general. What do we give to the Department of Social Development or contribute, if anything? Or what do we contribute towards orphanages in our environments? Yeah. What do we contribute towards NGOs and NPOs within our environments? What do they use the money for? Can they account as well? Business virtues. Mm-hmm. Is honesty key? Yes, it is. It is a business virtue. We're talking about moral correctness in this case. We're talking about transparency. Let people know what's going on. The sad part is when we go to the church side, we'll get to that. We're still on the first column. The issues of transparency as a virtue. Transparency is a virtue. People need to know what's going on. Can we disclose all information that is required? Can we disclose that information in order for people to make decisions? Can we actually emphasize or discuss or even have conversations about fostering an environment of compassion, of empathy within the church? Can we talk about how we're going to improve relations? How we're going to increase trust? How we're going to enhance our reputation, rather, as a business? Can we talk about how we're going to make better decisions going forward? Can we talk about respect as a virtue? Respect for others, respect for self, respect for the organization. Can we talk about fairness? It's a virtue. Loyalty, yo.
Yeah.
That's a tough one even these days. Mm. People will tell you, well, the old adage or the proverbial rather says, if you want loyalty, get a dog. We'll talk about that in the church space just now. Steadfast faithfulness, that's what we called loyalty. Regardless of betrayal, regardless of what's presented to you, regardless of who wants you to marginalize whoever or to desert that environment, to abandon that environment, despite any kind of temptation, can you remain loyal, not to the church, not to a person? Can you remain loyal to the Most High Creator of the heavens and the earth? Because if you are loyal to Him, being loyal to...
Yeah, I hear you quite well. I hear you quite well, Mashadi. I hear you quite well. And of course, I will read what Johan Els is saying concerning what you just said now.
Share the love, share the truth, share the life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
The search continues for top quality South African Christian music. If you are a new artist or releasing a new CD, then send it to Radio Pulpit. For more information, please visit the Radio Pulpit website. That's www.radiopulpit.co.za. Or phone us during office hours, 012-334-1200. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Discover an abundance of life. 657 AM.
657 AM, Radio Pulpit coming to you live. We trust the Father is doing you well, blessing you so much in a mighty way. Thursday Live, my name is Ray. Thank you so much, Mashadi. And let me read what Johan Els has just said now. Man, I think I should read it to you, Mashadi. He says, this lady is so good. Just like that. Then he says, really very good, godly woman. Mashadi, be blessed. Oh, he's written that. I wish he could send a voice note to prove it to you, but I will forward you the messages. You will see them for yourself. You know, it's good to hear from Johan Els. And of course, we trust the Father is doing you well. Hanging out with Tato Landu, she's on the line. Are you still there, Tato? You lost in translation. Are you still there?
I'm still here. You know how I also love Osman Shadi. So just like I have my pen with, and for the minutes that she's speaking, I'm just constantly scribbling everything down.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, by the way, you also sent a message saying you can't wait to hear Mashadi.
And
right.
I even did it. I was like...
Yeah. Ah, that's great, man. That's great. Anyway, we give the Father all the glory, the majesty, and the honor. We exalt His holy name. There's none like Him. We bless Him. His name is Yahuwah Elohim. And we are talking about business virtues, man, and how this has become such a big problem amongst churches. Hey, Munna. In Pretoria, when the churches are closing down, pastors are running away. There's a church where a pastor ran away with about 90 million bucks. 90. Went to the States. The building is left there. There's a beautiful building they did. A very beautiful building. It's like a colosseum, that building. It's there. The only people who might see going to that building, who would say they attend there, it's the securities. Because they have to guard the building. It's built out of glass. It's beautiful. Here in Pretoria, yeah. Pastor is gone. I didn't say a name, so the pastor is gone. Millions. Like, really. These are the things that are happening. Now, if you look into Proverbs 22:29, it says, do not see a man who excels in his work. Do you see a man excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He who will not stand before unknown men. The man who excels in his work, he will stand before kings. And in this case, this kind of excellence, this kind of excelling that the Father talks about is the kind of diligence, it's a kind of honesty, industriousness, you know, it's the kind of justice that will make this person to stand before kings. And this means he will be associated with the greatest. But we can't seem to see that because of the shady dealings. Now we find churches that are being used for money laundering. And maybe many of you would say, Manre, come on. There's a friend of mine called Bafana. He's used to be those people who would be checking on that. And I remember at some stage I was questioning him because I had not known him that much, but he looked familiar. And he said, "Pastor Ray, you know, you used to minister to me many, many years ago." I said, "Yeah, but I see the face." But he says, "Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll be coming here to fellowship." I said, "No, no, that's fine, man. Come on. That's fine." And it's when I lost that building, which I built, that one, which they took away. And then, but he was investigating. I remember in his final attendances, because he stayed for 2 years. And he'd say, "I'm on duty." And then he told me, "No, woman, I'm with the Secret Service. I want to tell you that." The word Bafana is a pseudonym. "So I'm with the Secret Service. And we are checking on extortions of money. We are checking on extortions of money, money launderings. We are checking on these things. And because we are seeing quite a lot of these things happening and taking place. So, it's true that these kinds of extortions and money launderings are happening even now. Even now, people are even able to pay up their ways to escape the justice of the country. They can escape the justice of the country. They can buy those who are legal practitioners to represent them. Top of the notch, guys that can be bought with money to represent them. They can drag a trial for years. And I'm talking business ventures. And I'm talking about what these guys are doing now. And they are multimillionaires. Money laundering, human trafficking. There are those who are in court as we speak. Another one is in trial for 7 years. Human trafficking, money laundering, extortions. Others have even come in here into the land illegally. And they say, "God has sent me here." Illegally, though.
It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now. www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Your daily companion, Radio Pulpit it is. We trust the Father is doing you well, blessing you so much in a mighty way. And of course, we are talking about business virtues, business moralities. And we are looking into that one where it says, then the one who excels in his work, according to the Father will bring this person in the presence of those who are kings in that area, in that business, in that ministry, those whom he has made kings in the ministry. You know, it means he will bring you amongst those who have been honest, virtuous towards him, those that he has elevated over the years, that they take care of you, that you become part of them. It's not yet a reward, it's not yet the judgment day, but he will elevate you to operate even far much more. Just like having one talent, you're faithful, he gives you one more, five, he gives you five more, you know. That's how it is. But we don't seem to be getting that. Tato.
Moti, now I find it very strange that we are in the times that there's so much information, and yet we are finding it so hard to be precise with our decisions when concerning leadership,
yes.
Whether leadership in the church, in politics, or in business. You know, there is a reward in being good. And that alone is constantly spoken bad upon on social media. There's just a gospel that's going around saying, we don't have to be good, you know. There's no reward for us. When you are thinking as a young person, okay, I want to get into maybe get this NPO and do this and do that. The first thing that you're going to establish is the fact that youth Honanyana, when you are speaking all things about all things service, all things good and serving, the that's why even in the church I've noticed and youth is there, youth is just sitting down, we just want to come to church on Sunday and then we listen to the sermon and then we are gone, you know. Where else, there are so many needs in the church. There are so many roles that needs to step into their character, the character and the talents that God has given them. But yet you will always find that there's a shortcoming in there. That's because it's just been overly said and overly discussed of how much doing good does not profit for anything. Now, when we understand from the Word of God, it teaches us that there's a reward and there's a reward from the Father. It does not, it has never ever mentioned that we're going to be rewarded by earthly things, by material things. Mm. I think if we are to shift our focus to the reward of the Father, that this is the work that I do, let me do it as I am doing it unto the Father, not unto my boss, not unto the likes on social media, not unto anything else, but to please the Father. If our hearts would just remain there, remain at pleasing the Father, I'm telling you, we are going to have so much impact. We're going to change so many lives, because indeed, and as much as we do the work that we do, only the Father, only Him we can trust to touch the Pilotabato and really transform them and really transition them into new paths. But for as long as we remain with the words of wanting rewards from people, wanting to reward, that is even the superficial rewards that we want, you know. I want your pastor to come back now and say, yeah, you know what, you've been such a doing such a good job. And we are like, I'm not even sure that I want to do it. But we forgot that the main reason we do what we do, the good that we do, is because of our Father who is in heaven, who has taught us compassion, who has taught us love in the highest level. And now for me, that's what I always use to remind myself whenever I'm finding it so hard for me as a leader to be faithful in my ministry, in my work. If I'm finding it so hard to deliver, I always remind myself that, you know what, the goal is to please the Father.
Absolutely. We trust the Father is doing you well, blessing you so much in a mighty way. And of course, we are talking about business virtues, both in business, in the church, of course, in the challenge of the immorality that we see these days. One has to, point across and say, even though it would seem as if there had been, some changes, we can say that we don't see much on this, and also on the issue of, people becoming honest in the issue of business, and there's quite sad that we don't get that. We don't get much of that. All right. And of course, send us your WhatsApps, 082-657-2729. Drop us a voice note. Let's hear what you say on this issue. Business virtues. I want to hear from you as to what you make of this. And can we say without a doubt that we really understand business virtues, and also that our leaders are virtuous when it comes to dealing with the ministry, whether it's of money or the ministry in itself? Are they doing these things to enrich themselves? One also has to ask that question. Are they doing this to enrich themselves instead of the Father? We are talking about that. Send us a WhatsApp, 0826572729. That's 0826572729. It's a WhatsApp and a voice note. Otherwise, give us a shout. Talk to us directly there. 012-334-1322.
Feel the pulse of the real life on 657 AM. 657 AM. The sounds of your life.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.